Animal Crackers have redesigned the box so animals are no longer in cages. They're already working on next year's box, which will feature animals receiving small business loans.
Cute.
The California Tourism Board is concerned that the recent wildfires are deterring people from visiting. So they've launched a brand new tourism slogan, California, even on fire, we're still better than Delaware.
Burn.
Scientists have found what they say is definitive evidence of water ice on the moon's surface. They're now just trying to figure out a way to bottle it with cucumber slices to sell at Whole Foods.
And finally, as flags around Washington remained at half-staff to honor John McCain, the White House flag returned to its regular position because Trump feels that even the flag should stand to salute the flag. The Trump Report starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
That's right. It is indeed the final countdown. This song selected for someone very specific on the panel, and not because they're leaving. Welcome to the Trump Report. That's right. Except no imitators. The other Trump Reports. This is the Trump Report. I'm Christian Blatt, joined as often by Chelsea Galicia.
Hello.
And Tamara Brown.
Hey there.
And return from, I don't know, a walkabout, really.
On assignment.
On assignments. Including Alaska.
Yes. And Aruba.
Yes. And ooh. I'm just, and other places.
Only places
over there.
Starting with A.
Said it.
Afghanistan?
Australia?
Yeah, all of them. All of the above.
Arkansas. Anyway, Scott Moore.
Lots of welcome back.
So you went to Alaska. How was dinner with Sarah and Todd Palin? I'm sure it was amazing. I didn't see the pictures on your Instagram, but I'm sure you're just waiting to post them.
I am waiting, you know, but it was great. You know, she's a heck of a girl. That's Sarah Palin.
I thought you were talking about Bristol.
Bristol, yeah.
But that's fine. You know, it's all across the board. There's been a few things that have been going on. One, since you've been gone, but two, just since our last show. And there's so many things to talk about, like always. But I guess let's start with Paul Manafort guilty on 8 counts of tax evasion. And then I believe it's a hung jury on the other ones or a mistrial on the other one? That's what they call the mistrial, right?
A hung jury caused
the mistrial. Okay, so I'm right.
It's not exactly a mistrial, because a mistrial means that something went wrong in the trial.
Right. And I heard
it
both terms used, though.
It is a hung jury.
But it's really a hung jury.
Yes.
So, first, before we get thoughts on that, you're not even a recovering lawyer anymore. You're just
relapsed.
A lawyer now. Yeah, you
relapsed.
Definitely.
No, but it's only like twice a week.
That's, you know what? That's like, it's, yeah, I only drink at parties.
Part-time lawyer.
She's a part-time lawyer and a full-time panelist.
I only smoke when I drink, and I only drink when I smoke. Chelsea, so the mistrial, can you do a retrial on those things?
Yes.
Now, why does double jeopardy not apply in that situation?
Because it wasn't that he was found not guilty. If he was found not guilty on those charges, then he couldn't be tried again. That would be double jeopardy. But here, it was because the jury couldn't reach a unanimous decision. They almost did. A juror, Paula Duncan, said it was 11 people voted to convict on everything, and just one lone woman just kept saying reasonable doubt, even as they tried to explain to her the immense paper trail that she couldn't ignore. She just chose to say reasonable doubt.
I think I've talked about this on the show before, but I was a jury foreman once, and it was a drunk driving case, and there was this one person that they were doing that. They're just like, no, I'm not. They had like kind of a thing that they didn't like police, and they're just like, no, I don't buy it. And then we were just sort of like, really? So you want to stay here again? And I knew that this person had a trip that they wanted to take the next week. And I was like, okay, so you know we're going to come back on Monday, right? And so then he's like, all right, well, let's vote again, I guess. And it's mysteriously, you know, hey, look, the
judicial system, yes, ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
It can be easily manipulated, yes, by people who are trying to easily manipulate it. So what exactly do the 8 guilty charges mean? What's the difference between getting that and if, you know, it'd been like a clean sweep, if he had just basically swept all the awards and been guilty, 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 guilty?
It's just like, you know, winning the most awards. I mean, really, at this point, he's probably going to go away for a very long time. So those would have just added more years. It would have added strength to the case that this is a very corrupt individual, and therefore, you know, maybe lent some more credence to this corruption spilled over into his dealings with Trump and the Trump campaign, but this trial by itself had nothing to do with Trump. It was his taxes and foreign businesses. But the fun one starts next month when he goes on trial for things related to the campaign.
Paul Manafort will be on trial for other things. And that was not a part of this trial at all. That's not right. The hung jury stuff. This right. is just completely different.
Yeah.
So is there another trial after that? I just want to temper my expectations.
As far as I know, there's only two. And this is unusual, and I haven't even really figured out why it was this way. This is not something that they taught us in law school, because I had friends that go, I thought, you know, federal law, and it could all be tried in one mm-hmm. court. This one was in Virginia. The next one will be in D.C. Why is it two different trials? I thought one of the reasons was because he was supposed to have a co-defendant in a Ukrainian man. But that co-defendant has fled and is whereabouts unknown. So,
Putin's house. I mean, I know that's Ukraine and that's not Russia, but it's just somewhere to start.
So I thought, well, okay, maybe it's supposed to be two trials because one was just him and the other one is a trial against Manafort and this other individual. But I'm actually not entirely sure.
Tamara, is this what President Trump meant when he said that he would only hire the best people? Is Paul Manafort probably on the list of the best people? And if so, who do you think some of the worst people would have been?
I think he still is. He's still saying, because Manafort has still never said anything again. The way Cohen, pulled back his support.
And we'll get to him.
But Manafort has still not said a negative thing against Trump. So he's still a good person. He's a good guy.
He's holding out for that pardon.
Yeah. And actually, I have a little bit of insider Manafort
gossip.
I guess. Ooh. I don't know if it's exactly gossip because I have an acquaintance who is an acquaintance of Manafort.
Okay.
Not friends, they're acquaintances. And apparently right before the trial, Manafort called him and asked him for money.
Wow. How much money
Wait,
are we talking
who?
About?
Wait, who? Asked who for
so
money?
So her friend's friend's friend.
Acquaintance.
By the way, is your acquaintance related to the girlfriend I had in Canada when I was in middle school? It just sounds like there might be some kind of shared family tree.
I'm just not
going to
use name,
you know. But it's like you feel like this isn't, you know, you feel like this is somewhat reliable information.
Yes.
Let's just say that.
And I thought it was very interesting because it's not like these people are close, but he's still making the rounds.
He's just desperate for some dough.
Yeah.
Well, should we start a Kickstarter for Manafort? Get him some money? I mean...
Cohen did it.
Cohen did it.
Why not?
Mm-hmm. Move over, 10-year-olds with leukemia. Yeah. I know where I'm making my donation.
Right. Make me feel good.
Scott, were you still? Well, you were not overseas when this news broke, so you were probably able to at least enjoy
it. Yes, I was able
it.
To have my cake and have the crumbs go everywhere in the hotel bed while I'm watching CNN. So it was perfect.
Were you wearing the hotel robe and slippers?
Yes, of
I just
course.
Want to paint a picture for the
yes,
audience.
Yes, of course. Yeah, exactly. And the crumbs were going everywhere, and it was like I just couldn't stop eating the cake because it was so delicious while watching all this deliciousness unfold on CNN.
This is sort of like, if we're going to keep the food metaphor, this is the... This is just like a really good salad before you sit down and have the meal.
Yes, before the full
Would you say that like
here.
Cohen is probably that's more the meal that you wanted to have? That I feel like must be a bigger indication of some of the stuff that you've been excited for, and the reason why I played the final countdown for you, because I want to start before we get your reaction on all of this, Scott. Where is the impeachment clock right now? How close is it?
It's moved back up again from 11:58 back to 11:59.
Okay,
so
but it's still 11:59.
No,
11:59, like 58 seconds, or more like 11:59 in like 3 seconds.
Yeah,
okay.
Like that.
All right, that's still really close.
It is close.
All right, so your take on what all of this means, and then we'll, of course, we'll allow the ladies to talk in a minute. No, because that's what almost came out of my mouth. So I figured, like, let me at least turn it into a joke. We'll let the girls talk in a minute, but what do you think, Scott?
Let's get the real opinion first, and then we'll
Okay, I didn't say that.
Afterwards.
Now you went too far. I'm still laughing. But anyway, what do you think?
I do think that... Which I've said all along, as soon as if Democrats win in the fall, if people actually go out and vote and they take over the House, and then the Senate's going to be very close, that they will be able to have subpoena powers, and life for Trump is going to be hell. And as I've said from the beginning, impeachment is a lot further away because you've got to get a lot of Republicans in the Senate to actually remove him from office. But the possibility of him resigning before the end of his term is still a very big possibility. So I should say impeachment slash resigning.
Oh, God, but those are so different.
But they are also different. Impeachment, the sake of everybody's understanding, impeachment is not removal from office because Bill Clinton was impeached.
Well, yes, but to be removed from office, you have to be impeached in the Senate, which takes 67 votes.
Yes.
So that's always a high number to get to begin with. You'd really have to have something very serious that comes out that Republicans can no longer overlook to where enough maybe moderate Republicans or ones that were always kind of on the fence with Trump or in purple battleground states, senators are going to come around and say, we can't deal with this anymore because it's going to bring down the whole party. In that case, and I think there would be enough Republicans to come around to potentially you'd need like 14 to have him removed from office. But I also think it's still likely that if enough stuff comes out and his administration is basically ground to a halt because now there's subpoenas every day. There's hearings going on in the House that's taking people away that at some point, you know, he could theoretically resign as well. So that's always a possibility.
I've added a new caveat for my impeachment hopes because if he is impeached on anything but things like treason or something of that nature, then we are stuck with Pence. But if it's for treason or something of that nature, then the whole administration goes.
No, not necessarily.
No, I don't think Mother would let Pence do anything treasonous.
No, it doesn't change.
I'm fairly sure that
Pence is indicted and or there's a reason that he was involved and complicit, and then he would be up there and potentially have to go too.
My understanding of Article 2 was that there are some cases under which the whole administration would go because if there was really,
I feel like right now you're writing fan fiction.
I feel like
what you just would really
like
to have.
That's
happen.
One of those.
I'm gonna find it.
That's one of those things where like
couldn't happen.
No, technically it's true, but it's like right after the election when people were like, oh, well, there's a possibility that the Electoral College could. Yeah, you could. They might not.
Hey, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Remember people were really hanging their hat on that?
Yeah,
that's just fun to think back on stuff, isn't it? So. So, I mean, I guess at issue with Michael Cohen is, he paid off women and Trump knew about it. But this doesn't seem like not treasonous, but, an impeachable offense either, because it's not like I don't know. I like to think that people aren't so stupid as they're like, oh, OK, well, write this check. Go ahead and use it from the campaign fund and just go ahead and write a check to Stormy Daniels, et cetera, and all the other people. So as a private citizen, paying off women to not tell a story or having the National Enquirer buy stories to kill them, I don't think – and tell me if I'm wrong, Tamara, but these don't seem like things – these are things that are super like sleazy and all that. But the sort of thing that unfortunately men, especially men with a lot of money, do all the time.
Oh, that's for sure true. I mean, that's why he thinks that he didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
I 100% believe that Trump believes he did nothing wrong and hasn't done anything wrong because this is just par for the course in the world that he lives in. You know, you grease the palms that you need to grease, and that's just how the world works. I don't think he understands that people don't do that, right? You know, so like what was the question?
The question being just like, you know, it's as like, you know, as icky as it is, there's not really an actual crime. Just like, you know, Cohen's the one who like lied about it. But Trump's he actually knew about it.
Well, Trump lied about it, too, because he purposely told people, oh, no, I don't know anything about it.
I mean, there's lying and then there's, you know, being on the stand and saying it depends on what your definition
is. The difference is Giuliani made in one of his recent interviews, Giuliani said that campaign – this isn't a he said this sort of thing, you normally get a fine for campaign misuse of campaign funds. You normally get a fine. It's not a felony. And he was incorrect in that because if you unknowingly, accidentally, you misuse campaign funds, then you get a fine. But this is a case of knowingly, you know, misusing.
I don't know. Maybe I'm missing a part of the story. My understanding is that this money doesn't come from actual, you know, campaign fundraising money.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Why does it not matter? Because that sounds like something that's against the law. Just writing out, or is it because he funded part of his own campaign himself? Or
because a contribution to the campaign for any reason, but which is intended to impact the campaign is a contribution, and there are limits to how much you can contribute.
And that is considered a contribution to the campaign to
buy. Yeah, it's influencing the election and the campaign trying to keep them quiet.
The cover up was specifically for it's been stated now that the cover up of Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal was specifically so that it didn't come out during his campaign. So it falls under the umbrella. I understand.
But I've also heard that he could use the defense that he was too stupid to know that it was against campaign law, so he can plead.
Yeah, but
like
when the rest of us tell the cops, I know
exactly.
They're like,
that was against the law.
The law
right.
is no excuse.
Yeah, but that's what they'll probably try to do. Yeah.
So, what do you think is next for Cohen? Specifically, I want to start with you, Chelsea. So, we're at this point now. What's next on the shopping list for Michael Cohen?
Prison bed sheets? I don't know.
But that's not like cut and dried at this point. It's like there's no guarantee that he's going to do time, especially if, I don't know, maybe he knows something really interesting.
I can't imagine that he would get no jail time because I guess the reason why I say that is because if he had to plead guilty, that would probably be to reduce jail time. That if he had been offered a deal for like immunity, and then that would be for no jail time. But he didn't get a no immunity mm-hmm. deal. He got some kind of deal for pleading guilty. So that's what makes me believe that there was something too big to give him outright immunity mm-hmm. that he needed to do some time for. So I do believe he will probably be going away for something. I mean, there was 8 charges that he, pled guilty to. So...
And something I heard said he's got a maximum of 5 years. I don't know if that was one of the.
Well, and unlike Manafort, he doesn't really have the the pardon, the little monopoly card, the get out of jail free card. He doesn't have that,
right?
Because
he has a New York case,
right? But he's also kind of sold out Trump, Whereas Manafort's like, I don't know anything about anything. You can put me in jail. It's all right. Like that's what a good soldier does, You just like, yeah, I don't know anything about anything. I guess I'm going to jail. And Cohen's like, oh, I know all kinds of stuff. And it turns out it's not actually that interesting, or at least as of yet.
I think what will be really interesting.
I don't know about that.
I know that it just sounds like, oh, they gave the National Enquirer guy, David Pecker, this immunity. What could he really have? I think he could have a lot more.
Yeah.
Plus, they gave immunity to the CFO of the Trump mm-hmm. organization. That's a really fascinating mm-hmm. one. So,
yeah, it's just the tip of the iceberg, in my opinion. Is like we're just getting into it, and like I've said all this time, we have no idea what Mueller's doing. We have no idea what other things Michael Cohen has said or may know or have, and people are speculating, and that's why it's the witch hunt and a hoax because nobody really knows what's happening.
Twitterverse is. I came across something that said insider knowledge is that Don Jr. is about to be indicted.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I heard about that. And
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. It's just the tip of the iceberg. And
that one, I might actually do a happy dance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, as long as it's not Eric, because I think Eric's too pretty.
Poor
for jail.
Eric.
Yeah. I don't think Eric would do well. I think Don Jr. would be fine, but
beginning.
And that's mm-hmm. what it always comes down to. That's why the clock is only 11:59.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
So
just starting now.
Yeah. So we have all this. Excitement, in the negative sense. But this seems to be the time for President Trump to say, well, now is clearly the time, Jeff Sessions, that you should start investigating the other side. Tamara, this sounds like the perfect way to try and deflect some of the attention. When the heat's on, why don't you go ahead and put the heat on somebody else, right? Basically what he's saying is, okay, yeah, so, some of my friends are guilty, but Hillary's emails.
Oh,
start with that,
Sure.
I mean, that's what he's saying. I'm not saying that's what I need you to talk mm-hmm. about is the Hillary's email.
And I'm sure Jeff Sessions is happy to do it. I'm amazed that now that Trump has turned against Sessions, but now he's basically just in defense of his job right now and what he has done for the Justice Department and things like that. I'm sure Jeff Sessions would be equally as happy as Trump to turn sort of attention onto Hillary's, the Clinton Foundation, and emails, and
you know, I'm reminded of something that was said often on this show when it was still called Trump versus Hillary. Clinton cash. That is something that probably ought to be investigated. It's mostly for them that I said that, but it's a movie that people know about. Mm-hmm. That's the sort of thing that he's trying to get investigated. The Clinton Foundation, Clinton cash. And look, I'm not saying that I don't know that there isn't some stuff worth looking into over there, because I
mean,
don't know.
It's still I believe that the Clinton Foundation is still being under – there's still an ongoing investigation, right? I mean, is it officially, like, closed? No. I think because it's been continued – different aspects have been reopened.
You hear about it once in a while. But,
yeah, I feel like it pops up every so often that some division of the FBI has started a new look at this aspect – this, I don't know, this thing, that thing. Nothing has ever –
How about to make things fair? Everybody's foundation is under investigation.
Yeah,
that's right.
Is that a middle ground?
All I've learned is I should not have a foundation after all this.
So wait, what happened? What happened to the $10,000 I gave to the Scott Moore Foundation? Where is that money?
I haven't seen it. I was on assignment.
He just came back from Aruba, yes. And you're wondering where your $10,000
That was his
per diem. Oh,
my gosh. Yes. How about Duncan Hunter, who threw his wife under the bus?
Oh,
yeah, please. You brought it up. It's definitely worth talking about.
Congressman who was just indicted for misusing campaign funds says his wife was in charge of it.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
He didn't know anything.
He had no idea. It was like she spent $100,000
at an out here. I'm too dumb to know about any of that stuff.
That's the, like, in the 1950s, it was the little woman bought all the hats. Yeah. And now it's she handles the campaign donations.
Yeah. Why would I know about something like that? And when you see the itemized charges, it's like, how do you spend that much at In-N-Out Burger? I think it was $200,000.
And Costco.
Okay,
see? Okay, now what are you doing with the campaign donations?
Costco, I totally get. I could easily spend $200,000 at Costco. I can't go there. It's just on toilet paper, really. It's just like, oh, it's such a good value. Let me stock up.
Let me buy everything.
But my favorite thing about Duncan Hunter, of course, is his contention that it was politically motivated. That people went after him.
It's a witch hunt, too.
So maybe if they went after you for political reasons, but you're still guilty of all of it. So who cares why they went after you? You still did it.
You still did it. It doesn't matter. Exactly.
Yeah.
And now it's like the Democratic Department of Justice.
Yeah.
Like, actually, how many people in there are Democrats, have been Democrats?
That's a great question.
The people running it for a long time have all been Republicans.
Yeah, that's why it's so funny when it's turned around. And then the thing about this that's going to be interesting is to see, because it's a very Republican district, and one of the side effects, you know, of when we changed the jungle primary in California is that you cannot put in a write-in candidate for the general election. Mm-hmm. So that means you can't write in somebody. So are enough Republicans not going to vote for him? Does a Democrat have a chance now? Or are Republicans going to be like with Donald Trump and just keep looking the other way because he's a Republican and vote for him even though he's – you know, been indicted on all these charges, and he's still going to.
And so he's definitely still on the ballot.
He's still on the ballot because it's past the deadline,
right.
And because of the primary rules, you can do it in the primary, but you cannot put a write-in candidate in the general. So that means it's him and the Democrat.
I mean, we have instances where, for the same reason, like people who've passed away,
right,
and that's on the ballot, so.
Right. But it's the same thing. But are people going to actually still, in this very heavily Republican district, look the other way and just vote for him again?
Or is it going to be some really just weird, you know, just snafu where if you vote for Duncan Hunter, you're actually voting for Roy Moore? I don't know. I don't understand how any of that's going to work.
Is it going to be like Alabama and somehow the Democrats going to squeak by? But they ended up getting a more liberal Democrat in District 50. And I think it was more under the idea of like, okay, well, you know, he's probably not going to win because it's a safe Republican district, whereas, you know, where Dana Rohrabacher's district, District 49, just up the road, has a very moderate Democrat there. So there's actually a good chance that Rohrabacher is going to lose. But it'll be interesting to see now what happens with Duncan Hunter, because that's another potential one that could now flip to the Democrats.
I mean, let me just ask,
it'll be interesting.
As a married man,
I don't know if I like where this is going.
What would it take for you to throw your wife under the bus?
I mean,
would you have to be, I mean,
extra large fries? I mean, you know, you get a free upgrade or something?
I mean, I
know.
Is that like a psychological?
Okay, in all honesty, you wonder sometimes about, you know, any kind of like political couple. Mm-hmm. Is there a conversation they have beforehand? And she's like, "Look, throw me under the bus
so you can stay in power."
I'm not saying that's what happened, but
you make the money.
It definitely.
Well, they showed up to court separately.
Yeah, it's all part of the act.
Chances are things weren't. Things were rocky as it were, and here was his opportunity to do something harder than just insulting her mother.
And something was crazy that they and their own personal bank accounts had overdrafts like 1,100 times over 7 years. 1,100 times.
I've got that's a program a lot for that, people.
Of like,
well, please let them know how they can find out. I mean,
financiallyfitfoundation.org, a legit foundation.
That's like 3 years out of seven, every single day that you were having overdraft. Like, I don't even know how you even do that.
Yeah.
Like, your finances have to be way out of whack. So, obviously, they were living well above their means. And it's kind of insane. So that's why they were having to steal from the campaign, because they were just not able to.
They were not financially fit. No. They were what I call financially flabby.
Well, really? I mean, 1,100 times.
I mean, all that In-N-Out burger, they were definitely. I mean, who ate it? I still don't even understand. That's really the only thing that I noticed. I saw all the itemized stuff. And there's like really
trip
more expensive.
To Italy.
Yeah, I saw all that. But it was like, I was like, $200,000 for an In-N-Out burger. Did they get like one giant one? You know how you can get like a 4x4 or 6x6 or 100x100? Did they get like 1,000x1,000? What did they do? I don't know.
But, that's a lot,
200,000 at In-N-Out Burger?
Right. I mean, and the fries aren't even that good. So, like, what do you... No, they're awful.
I am about to walk. But if you
get them well done, they put them through the fryer twice, they're better. Because they're a little crunchier. All right. So that's a little inside knowledge right there to help everybody up. Anyway. Whew. Got really hot
this
under the
collar. This has been Inside In-N-Out with Christian Black.
Hey, they have a secret menu for a reason.
If they want to sponsor the show, then more to them. And we will talk about
how
great
Duncan Hunter wants to sponsor the show.
If his campaign
call
wants
me.
To
yeah. sponsor just let the me show. Know. Michael Cohen. Just call and we'll see. We'll see what the deal is.
Yes.
I wanted to backtrack for a second because you mentioned the National Enquirer boss, longtime friend of Donald Trump, David Pecker, gets federal immunity. So does that imply, like, okay, he's got something good? Because there's the reports that, you know, he had a safe of all sorts of information. But the contents of the safe are gone now.
Wait, how do we know that? They were moved.
I know, reportedly. They were moved, yeah.
Well, we know because Geraldo opened it and tried to show us. It's a really old reference, I thought it was funny.
They were moved. I had not heard they were destroyed.
No. Never. The word destroyed has never been used. Just they're not where they were anymore. And
in
the
a
thinking,
location that fewer people know about.
Exactly. So, obviously you can get federal immunity because you give the impression you know something, but that's why I'm asking you.
You think
he's got something good?
Yes.
And, I mean, it's a very juvenile statement to make, but that's why I'm here to say it. Wouldn't it make sense if he was brought down by a man named Pecker?
Pecker leaks.
I was going to say, you get a lot of headlines like Pecker leaks.
Yeah.
And it has to do with porn stars.
He has a little Pecker problem. How about that one?
That was pretty good. I like that.
Thank you. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
That's all right. No, it's good because you're classier than us.
Yes. You're so classy. You're not going to go there.
So, but this implies that he might have very well been guilty of something. You don't get federal immunity if you didn't do anything wrong, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't get immunity unless there's something really good in there.
I mean, because again, immunity, we can look at Cohen and be like, he pled guilty and got a deal. So
not immunity.
There must be something different about what he's got that he gets immunity and not a deal for pleading guilty.
It's also exhausting.
That's what I said. It's the very tip of the iceberg.
Alan, what's his name?
Dershowitz?
No, that's the other guy.
I know. I was just being a smart ass.
Weiselberg?
Yes, I think it's Weiselberg.
There's no way it's Weiselberg.
No, it's like Weiselberg. Weiselberg.
I mean,
okay, we're going to know that
Weiselberg,
name from
Weiselberg
here on out.
Sounds like he's Winnie the Pooh's lawyer. Come on in, Weiselberg. That's somebody like
that. But it is something like that.
It is.
Weiselberg. That will be great because really it's the accountant that will bring you down.
Yes.
It's always the money.
It's an obvious example that people use all the time, but what brought down Al Capone? Was it being a notorious gangster and all? No, it was that he didn't pay his taxes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the fact that he had syphilis, so that's why he forgot to pay his taxes. But anyway.
And we've heard Mueller knows a little bit more about Trump's taxes, speaking of that.
And maybe syphilis. We don't know.
wow, that's a whole new level.
I mean, look, you just, I'm just implying that maybe you know something about President Trump. Look, there's a lot of things swirling around out there.
It makes sense because Omarosa did say his mental faculties were...
Because if there's someone who I trust to give an armchair psychiatrist diagnosis, it is definitely
Omarosa. Well, she's been around him. She would know, you know, besides the Diet Cokes, maybe it is syphilis, too. That affects your brain.
And that's from all the different first from the Scott Moore Foundation. They want to
That's what I spent the $10,000 on. I was doing a study.
Oh, my God.
What kind of syphilis would do
what from the porn stars and what it could do to you if it's left untreated.
All right. Well, let us know in the chat if you're watching live or watching after the fact.
We've gone off the rails for sure.
It's all right. Well, were we ever really on the rails?
That's a good question.
It's, we're so far removed from what this show could have been. The U.S. and Mexico have apparently reached a deal. Trump wants to drop the NAFTA name. I mean, Canada's not involved. So to me, that's not NAFTA. You know, it's right. this is a new deal.
He had an elegant name, right? It was the United States Mexico
Trade Agreement.
It was so elegant, he called it.
I mean, that does sound really nice. The United States Mexico Trade Agreement. Yeah, no, I can see how this man
it just
was
rolls right off the tongue.
I can see how this man was
United States Mexico Trade Agreement.
I can see how this man was a television producer, you know, and he owned properties that brought in entertainment. Like, obviously, this guy knows show business.
The details of it, Mexico. I didn't really understand all that well, that they seem to be centered solely around cars. Mm-hmm. Or was that just – Scott, can you enlighten me?
Well, that was the main thing because that is sort of what NAFTA was all about, too, was with the different car parts, you know, like some that are made in parts in Mexico and has to have a certain number. I don't know. It was like 62.5% had to be – U.S.-based. You know, there was a certain percentage that had to be done in the U.S. and certain number of, like, workers that had to work in the U.S. for a certain amount of money, like $16 an hour or whatever as minimum, which has always been sort of the NAFTA thing in general. And, yes, it's gone back to cars because that seems to be his
So is it only about cars?
Point.
Because NAFTA had a huge
impact
on, like, agriculture and stuff like that. So is there specific deals on
It would be more encompassing than that, but I know cars was the really specific part only because we ended up getting a lot of car parts and everything from other places, and they're made, you know, certain percentage had to be made in the U.S. versus in Mexico. So that's where that in particular was more of a starting point because of the specificity
easy for you to say
of cars and how that was going to work was very detailed, and it was down to percentages.
So I see this really benefiting the environment, huh? Mm-hmm. Because if this is
car-centric,
it's most likely there's going to be some sort of stipulation in it that they need to be electric and moved more towards green, right? I can see that that's probably a big
and then
part of this.
Also, Tamara, I'm sure that I haven't read it that closely, and it did just happen this afternoon. I have read about it, but I'm sure that part of this – is Mexico paying for the wall, right? I mean, that has to be in there. There's no reason that this would get done if they weren't paying for the wall, right?
Now it's going to be a like one of those just a giant ramp kind of wall. Is that what it is?
Exit wall?
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, however it gets paid for, he'll be like, I told you that Mexico was going to pay for it.
Was it Colbert that had a great joke? It's like the walls are closing in on Donald. Mexico's like, we'll pay for those walls.
Yeah.
Wasn't Colbert and a lot of the shows were like all off last week, right? Where it was a moderately interesting week for comedy.
You know, August used to be the quiet month. Exactly. Everyone's on vacation. The stock market's quiet. You know.
So are we happy with this United States Mexico deal? Is this better than NAFTA? Is this better or worse? Or is it typical Trump where we don't know enough about it?
I don't know.
You have the press conference to announce it, but you don't actually want to give the information.
It doesn't have any details.
It's going to take a while for economists on like both sides, because something that I didn't even really grasp until recently is that there are economists on like both sides of the aisle. Like even economists are political. And so it'll take time for both of them to analyze it and think through what are the consequences that aren't immediately obvious when you just look at the text of the agreement.
Because this is one of those, you know, Christian, you ask all the time, like, okay, if Donald Trump was able to denuclearize North Korea, or like, oh, you say all these things, like if he actually does a good thing, are we going to give him credit for it? And so this is one of those examples of like, okay, I'm sure I would, but
you need to understand what it is.
Anytime there's an opportunity to give him credit for something, there's not enough detail. Nothing comes out about it in order to be able to give him credit for it. So that's why I was asking.
But long-term unintended consequences are always a really sticky right. part of these agreements. Mm-hmm. And dear God, if they negatively impact, you know, Mexico and, you know, is a drag on their economy, just like, you know, I think it was like a million farm workers lost their job when NAFTA was originally passed. And so those are the kinds of things that make life...
Mexican farmers.
That make life harder there. Mm-hmm. And then they feel that they have no other option but to come here. So, you know, we won't know the consequences of right. this deal for, you know, years to come. And then by then, it'll be perhaps blamed on
Well, the one
else.
Thing we know is that if the treaty is all signed, it will be set for 16 years, and there will be a six-year review that could recommend changes. So because President Trump had asked for something called a sunset clause, which would have ended it after 5 years. But so this deal is like, no, it's going to be in place for 16 years. And NAFTA was – I feel like that was like 94 –
Yeah,
it was because I remember Al Gore and Ross Perot on Larry King's show. A lot of names yeah. and nobody knows what any of those three people are, but that's all right. It's fine. It's for us to talk about. But I remember specifically because
I would say it was around that time because I remember doing a Mad Lib as a kid and we used NAFTA in the Mad Lib.
Ooh, fancy.
Was the word next Smart. To it poopy?
Most likely.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that you're about to say, like, you know what, I don't know. No, you were gonna deny, but you know what? We're about the truth here.
That's right.
So I don't know. I mean, another thing to keep an eye on.
And 6 years is pretty much the term because a new president's going to be in office, and that's the term of Mexican
president. When's
a new president
going to be in office? Next year?
No, December, and it's a 6 year term.
He means president.
You mean our president? By December?
Mexican president.
I was
going to
say that's soon, even for you.
Nieto Peña.
No, 2019 will be our new president, which will be
there's a very Bernie-esque Mexican president.
Yes, there is.
On his way.
Yes.
In December.
And the Mexican term is for 6 years. It's only one term. And so at the time that Mexican president would be leaving is when that's the time where they can finalize any changes. So they'll have one term there.
So you can only be president of Mexico for one term?
Right, but it's 6 years.
6 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So part of the deal doesn't sound like enough. Mm-hmm. You know, it just seems like – it doesn't seem like anywhere near enough time to, you know, really milk the system and, you know, really let the corruption sink in. So you got to do it all faster. I guess it's an accelerated program. But now is what –
that's what I thought you were saying before,
that by part of the deal, somehow Pence becomes president of Mexico. That's what I thought you were saying. And I was like, man, I definitely missed the whole point.
Yes, that's the way Trump's going to get rid of him now, is to send him to Mexico where he can be
president. Well, no, if he could make anybody president of Mexico, it'd probably be Jeff Sessions, right? or maybe Melania. You know, I mean, who does he most want to go away?
Tiffany?
No.
I mean, God love Tiffany. She's pretty much – she's away.
Yeah.
You know, she's Marla Maples' kid. Yeah. You know, it's – You know,
by the way, I saw a video this week that was an interview with Trump and Marla Maples where Tiffany was just born and he says that he hopes that she has his mother's breasts when she grows up. Anybody see that?
I heard about it. And I'm like,
it's not surprising. No. I don't know how I didn't see that, actually.
Oh, God.
Just to pull on a couple of threads in the chat, R. Scott Brown says, this is something we talked about before. R. Scott Brown says, I've seen David Pecker in person around 25 years ago. He had political aspirations, even then, as evidenced by his use of a teleprompter at a corporate event. just wanted people to know. Let's see. And R. Scott Brown also said, 10 charges Manafort avoided can all be pursued in state courts. I think that was
right.
This is from a little while ago.
And we
want to transition and talk a little bit, spend a few minutes talking about the passing of Senator John McCain, who I'm making an assumption that I feel like a lot of people on the panel or a lot of our viewers didn't necessarily vote for him when there was an mm-hmm. occasion to vote for him. And I had a thought yesterday that I didn't share on Facebook because I just like, oh, it's not worth it. It's never worth it. But I was just felt like, you know, it'd be great that everybody doesn't have to rush in with their like super hottest of hot takes and be the first one to say like, well, actually, he's a terrible person. Right. And here's why. I was like, why yesterday? Why today either, by the way? Like, you know, if you feel really strongly about that, you could not say anything, or you could just wait a couple days.
I think this is a losing battle. I don't even think that we should even try and fight the people. They're going to express themselves when they want to.
Right.
I think if you don't like what they're saying or the timing is poor, ignore it. But I think us trying to tell people it's too soon to politicize this. And
well, that's why I didn't post it, because I'm like, it's just like, it's just going to make mad the like three people who posted something. And I was just like, it's like, I don't know, because for me,
what's the thought that you wanted to post?
That's the thought, and I didn't post it, which was like, hey, can you guys wait a day? To like, because people were just saying like, well, actually, you know, he enlisted in Vietnam, so that makes him a bad person. You know,
and he was for the wars in the Middle East.
Right. And look, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, but for me, it always came down to the fact that, you know, when he was a POW in Vietnam, given the opportunity, you know, you can go home. Mm-hmm. We know who your dad is. And he said, no, I'm not going to go home unless everybody gets to go home.
Right.
And he ended up being kept much longer than everyone else because of that decision.
And tortured more, apparently.
And you read these terrible descriptions of it. You know, there's a lot to disagree with, sure. But you're just like, I don't know, at that point, I can't be too critical of somebody who that's how they see the world.
Also,
because, by the way, give me a situation that, you know, I can be taken out of something like that and all three of you have to suffer and everyone in the chat, everyone here after, I'm going to go.
You're going to go.
I love you. God bless you. I hope you get out too. But I'm going. I am not taking any torture for anyone. Ever. And I'll use the excuse that it's because I have kids. But if I didn't have kids, I would lie and say I had kids. I I'm not a good man. John McCain was a great man in that respect. And it's just the fact that people, they just need to point out all the terrible things about him. And it's just like, I don't know. I mean, it's because people were saying the good things.
Well, I appreciate that in a letter that he had somebody release after his death, he admits mistakes. It would have been interesting.
We admits it in this book, too. His last book, he admits quite a few
mistakes. Does he elaborate on what they
are? I haven't read the whole thing yet, but I've heard
he specifically apologized for voting against making MLK a national holiday.
Right.
MLK
well, that Day one for sure.
Arizona was the last state. Mm-hmm. And it was like as recently as 92, 93, it still wasn't a federal holiday in Arizona. Oh. Yeah.
Right.
He has apologized for he has admitted that being in favor of the Iraq War was a mistake. I mean, I can't think of another politician who and not that, you know, like, oopsie, millions of people died because I made a mistake.
Right.
But, like, who else apologizes? I can't think of, you know,
I mean,
like,
and when you think of all the people
apologizing cool again?
When you think of all the people who voted, you know, everyone who voted for the Iraq War, and then a lot of people regretted after the fact, but it's like,
including a lot of Democrats, like Hillary Clinton.
I was going to say, like, that's exactly what I was going to mention. And I don't know, didn't John Kerry vote for it too? I mean, wasn't that the I voted for it before I voted against it?
Yeah.
So it was like, it was at a point where it's like, well, the information we're giving makes us think this is a good idea. So yes, we're going to vote in favor of that. And it's so easy to judge now. It's like, well, he voted for the Iraq War.
Well,
who didn't?
He specifically said he was trying to protect the minorities in Iraq is the reason that he voted in favor of the war. I don't know. In reading about reasons that he voted against the things that, you know, I disagree with him on, it seems that I can see his point of view of why he did it, even though I disagree with why he did it. And there are, it seems like he's just such a complicated man. Just as for everything that he did that I think is terrible, he has just as long of a list of things that he did that are positive. That are, I heard an interview with a journal, a White House press correspondent who was a young African American woman who was like 5 feet tall, and she said how because she was small and a woman and African American, she said every politician consistently ignored her, assuming that she was an intern or somebody's assistant or something like that. And she said John McCain was the only one who consistently always took the time to stop and speak with her and showed her respect. And that's one person's personal account, but there's like so many examples of that are coming out right now that it's just like, like I said, as many things that he's done that are negative, there's been just as many examples of like positive things. He's a complicated person, and that's what human beings are. Nobody's, you know, we need more politicians who are a dichotomy of different viewpoints rather than I am 100% conservative, 100% liberal. Like, this is it's more politicians like him that will probably make more progress than the ones that we currently have who are only dividing.
Yet it doesn't look like the Trumpsters are, I don't know, all that reverential to him and others like him.
No, and to be honest, the people that I'm talking about that were writing negative things about him were people on the left. And so I'm saying that this was a fairly bipartisan criticism of him that I was reading over the weekend.
Yeah, I saw a lot of Trumpsters that were now denigrating him. And I thought these are the same people that enthusiastically voted for him 10 years ago for president. So I thought it was just really surprising how quick these people turned on him that are, you know, hardcore Trump supporters.
And, you know, one of the things that people were pointing at favorably was this video from the 2008 campaign where a woman said, "I don't want to vote for Barack Obama because he's a Muslim." And he said, "You know, that's not real. That's not true. We disagree on a lot of things, but he's a good member." And people were like, "Oh, that's so terrible that he said that." Like, you know, and it's like, no, that's the right thing to do.
As if Arabs aren't decent.
And yeah, I was going to say, even if he was a Muslim, then the whole point is, he's
like,
so what?
Yeah, you know, but I mean, it's like, it's, you know, I don't know. I don't want to name any names, but do you feel like there's anybody who maybe campaigned for president, you know, within the last couple years, no names, no name on the show, that would have handled it in that way? You know, it could have been like, I don't know if that's true. Or like, he's not a good person. Vote for me. There's a lot of different ways that you could have handled that. And I think just saying it's like, no, we disagree. And it's just it's interesting to think about, you know, that sort of the narrative was how terrible it would be if somebody like John McCain or Mitt Romney was president. And then it was it's the old internet meme of, oh, yeah, hold my beer because look what you got instead.
Right.
You know, either one of those people, I think you can sort of at least you can look at a lot of differences. But you're like, well, they're politicians. You feel like their hearts are in the right places. You just disagree with them on things.
Right, and how they're getting there. And also the speaks volumes when you see that he's friends enough with Obama, he'd rather have him speak
Obama
at his funeral.
And George
George W. Bush. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Both that
and
were.
He's close friends with Lindsey Graham and Joe Lieberman. Like, he's just, it's very.
But, I mean,
telling.
Just fascinating that you competed against this person for president, lost badly to them, and you'd still rather have them speak than a
and
fellow Republican
president. Doesn't even want Trump
president.
To be there at all.
Right.
And,
so it speaks volumes right
what
there.
What Obama wrote that he posted over the weekend was just – it was just beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, maybe that's what he's going to say, or he's going to – you know, it's not like he couldn't write something else. But it was just great to read that. And you're just like, oh, yeah, that's what a president should say about it. And then you have the current occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue not flying the flags at half-mast until basically being bullied into it. And then they went back up and then got bullied into putting them back down again. So I guess, you know, the flags are going to go up and down a lot.
And then he just tweets, I've got a 52% approval.
Yes, and 90% among Republicans who I hope is, you know, your favorite president.
And
I was like, oh my
and by the way,
God.
Let's
52%, by the way, is wrong.
Is wrong.
That's how many disapprove.
Yes.
But has somebody told him that yet?
No,
has he figured it out?
He saw 52% and he's like, that's great.
Yeah.
But isn't his approval rating 46% is what I saw today? I mean,
which is
still high.
Way higher than it should be.
That's
none of the past week has really impacted. Impacted him, but you always feel like, oh, well, maybe next week. And then it's like, it's usually right around the same. You know, it definitely fluctuates for sure. But it's it stays kind of in the same sweet spot.
But still, that's not good for re-election if you're below 50. Because when you look at a president's approval rating, you want to see it above 50%. Because then you know that that's pretty much what it's going to be as far as your final results for the presidency. So when you're at 46 and when you're below that, which is basically what he won in 2016, he has a very narrow path if he was to survive everything and run for re-election in 2020 to actually be able to win. And I think to be able to pull it off is going to be very difficult, especially like we talk about anything changes with the economy. That's where you're going to get any of those.
Oh, man, the economy
base
is
people,
in for something fun.
Those base people are going to start going away when that starts affecting them personally.
Yeah, well, people are starting to figure out that the jobs, what are the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, nobody is really seeing the higher wages. Like, nobody.
No, of course not.
I've heard interviews with Jerome Powell.
Yeah.
The head of the Fed, and I even heard an interview with Larry Kudlow, and both of them were asked, why aren't wages going up? If the economy is doing so well, why aren't wages going up? And both of them did this, I don't know, type thing. And Larry Kudlow got very defensive and actually very nasty. But I think it is intellectually dishonest of both of them, and probably more so of Larry Kudlow. We know where all the money's going. It's just not going to wages. In fact,
exactly.
I was reading an article about there are more and more people taking promotions with no pay raises.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gone up into like the 60%, whereas before it was like 40% of people were willing to do that.
Well, we will have to keep an eye on that and everything else. Mm-hmm. But Sadly, we are indeed out of time. But the important thing to remember in terms of time, we will be back at the same time, but back to our old day now. Starting next Tuesday, we will indeed be back Tuesdays at 4 Pacific, 7 Eastern. That was just a fun little summertime experiment. And as I was very upfront about on the show, it was just because my son had swimming lessons. That's really why I had to do it. But so we'll be back on Tuesdays. But we appreciate everybody who keeps moving around the days and times with us. So we appreciate that. And everybody in the chat, we always appreciate that. And like I said, comment on the archive version. We'll try and get to those next week. Until then, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And a few hours from now, I'll be on the Better Call Saul after show right here at AfterBuzz. Hey, Chelsea, where do people find you?
At Chelsea Iglesias.
And Tamara.
You can find me www.tamarabrown.com.
And Scott Moore.
You can find me on Twitter at sman80.
And the scottmoorefoundation.org, is that still, or is that under construction?
It's under construction, but okay. You can send any checks, just DM me on Twitter.
Okay. And actually, Fit Foundation is a real thing. If you are like Duncan Hunter and have no idea where your money is going
and
why
you're bouncing your checkbook 1,100 times in 7 years. Yeah.
If you want to spend $200,000 in In-N-Out, financially message fit. Chelsea. Anyway, thanks so much, everybody. We will see you next Tuesday at 4 Pacific, 7 Eastern. Thanks, everyone.
Grilled veggies only, though.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.